Well, good morning, everyone. You doing okay? It's a lovely warm atmosphere in here today. Hopefully you've had a nice break over Christmas. Nice to see some of our students back as well. We've missed you. Okay, now today, what we're going to be looking at is what God is speaking to us about for 2017. Okay, so every year we feel God has brought a word for the year, and I'm going to share what we feel God is saying to us as a church for this year, and then over the coming weeks we'll unpack it. So I think for a moment, let's just settle our hearts for a moment, ready to receive what God has to say, because that's always a good place to start, okay? And God has good gifts for his children, so let's settle our hearts, close our eyes for a moment. I'd like you to pray your own prayer about this coming year, that we are ready and open for what God has for us. I'll just let you pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we say we want to see what you are doing in our land and we want our lives to align with that. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing things you've done in all the history of our church here together. We thank you for your blessing on this community of family that we have. And Lord, together we want to walk into this new year with your plans and purposes. So, Lord, I say my heart is open to hear what you have to say. And I pray, Lord, that each of us here, our hearts will be open to see what it is that you're going to do in our lives in this year of 2017. In your name, amen. So I hope you'll excuse, I have a bit of a cough, so I'm going to try not to cough too much all the way through this. So firstly, we're going to just take a little bit of a journey through some ideas for 2017. And so just to start with, you know that Bill Hybels often talks about from here to there. He's coined this phrase, from here to there. And he talks about all of us, our reality is here, where we are here, but there's always somewhere else to go. And he calls it there. In fact, he's produced a new book and a series called Here to There. So at the beginning of this year, I'm sure all of us have personal things of where I'm here right now, but I'd like to be there. Maybe for your business, you're thinking, well, my business is here, but during 2017, I'd like my business to be there. Or perhaps in university now, you know that you've got to produce some kind of thesis and you've got to get there by the end of May or June. And for many of us, we might say, well, you know, indulge a bit over Christmas. It's time to get fit this year. And my fitness is here, but I'd like it to be there. And all of us can relate. I'm sure you can think of something at this moment that where you're at and where you would like to be. And I would like us, coming into this new year now, to just imagine a there and use your imagination for a moment of what would our world be like, or more specifically, what would your world be like, as in your street, your cul-de-sac, your neighbours, your workplace, your housemates, college, school, work, whatever it is that you do. What would our world be like if the percentage of Christians in our world increased by 10%? Now just imagine a moment if it increased by 30% or 40%. So let's imagine a row of houses, 10 houses. Let's imagine 4 families or householders out of the street of 10 people, 10 houses. 4 of those would have families that are all Christians. How would that change your street? How would it change your workplace or your workforce if 60% of them were Christians? What about 80%? What about 80% of your teachers' staff room were Christians? Have a think for a moment how this would change our world, whereas at the moment 2% of Wales are Christians, and how would that change if the percentage rose to 30 or 40 or 60 or even 80%? What would change in our lives if an increased proportion of Swansea were Christians and following God and wanted to live with integrity and honesty and kindness and generosity? Now we know as Christians our lives aren't perfect. It's not like the increased percentage, we suddenly live in perfection. But you imagine that Jesus is living in more and more people in our city. How would that change things? Some of the things I think it would change, I know that I really dislike being ripped off. Do you? You know, if you need a job done and somebody comes in to give you a quote and they start to build up this quote and you're not really sure if you're being ripped off or paying the right price. No, Matthew recently went into a garage with his car and he had his MOT and everything. And the guy said, oh, you need two new tyres at the front, brand new, two new tyres. And Matthew's like, really? Do you really think I am? I mean, I'm going on a long journey this weekend for my MA. You know, I want to make sure my tyres are okay. Yeah, definitely, two new tyres. And Matthew said, well, could I get away with just one tyre? He said, well, it's all got to be balanced out, and no, you can't really have one, it's got to be two. And Matthew said, oh, the thing is, I'm thinking I might change my car in 3 months. And the guy went, oh, why didn't you tell me? No, don't change the tyres, they're fine. And Matthew goes, but I'm going all the way up to Wolverhampton. No, they'll be fine, I'll get you to Wolverhampton. About this month's in the tyres yet, so I don't even need to change this one then. No, so I definitely don't need to change them both. And in a moment, this advice that was going to cost him a couple hundred pounds was suddenly he didn't need anything at all. Now, imagine we lived in a world of honesty and integrity where we could trust one another. And, you know, none of us like to be ripped off or find we've been taken advantage of. Recently, I'd been helping somebody organise some finances, and I found that there was this terrible extortionate termination fee for something that somebody had been, like, advised to get into that wasn't really suitable, and that the fee to get out of it was extortionate. I don't like to see people ripped off like that. I think it's unjust. What about bullying? You know, when we see bullying in school and your child goes off into school and you know they're having a hard time, or bullying in the workplace where you've got a difficult work colleague or a difficult boss. What about fighting and shouting? I remember some years ago, do you remember Julian and I, Rob and Tracy, went for a meal in a Chinese in the upper end of Wine Street where it goes into High Street. And we had this lovely meal for our birthday or something like that. And as we came out, this fight erupted on the street. It wasn't us fighting, but there was this fight. Who paid for that extra Coke? So there was this fight in front of us. Do you remember this? There's like blood on the pavement. And we'd had this lovely meal, but now we walked into this situation of chaos and fighting. And I remember some neighbours we've had over the years where every couple of months there'd just be some eruption in the neighbour's house where you would hear shouting and swearing and people running up and down the street and in and out the house. And it's just like chaos. Now, you imagine in our lives that there's a huge percentage of people now following Jesus, how it would change our everyday experience at work and at home. What about deceit and lies? Have you ever found someone's lied to you and something they said is totally not true, or deceitfulness, manipulation, and anxiety and fear? And what about stealing? When we pioneered the church, in the first 7 years, we were burgled 16 times on our house and our car. And imagine that didn't happen. Now, the other day, just before Christmas, I'd come down with this sickness virus, but I didn't know that I was ill. I just was in a meeting feeling really sick. And I thought, I just want to drive home now and get out in the fresh air. Maybe I can walk it off. And I drove home, parked my car, and I walked into Pentlegay again and was walking round the field, just seeing if I could, like, shake off this nausea, not really realizing I was ill. And because I didn't want to take my handbag or anything heavy to carry, I put my credit card, just in case I needed something, in one pocket and my phone in the other pocket. And I walked around this field, and at some point I made a phone call. I was ringing Beth, actually, talking about the Christmas service songs and everything. And what I didn't realize is that as I'd slipped my phone out of my pocket, I also pulled my credit card out and it fell on the floor. And I wasn't aware of this because I was just concentrating on trying not to be sick, and I walked home. The next day, Marks and Spencers rang me and said, would you like to confirm that you have your credit card with you? And I was like, yeah, sure, it's in my bag. And they said, well, we'd like to check. So I went upstairs, opened my purse, no credit card. I couldn't understand where it had gone because I hadn't been out, because now I've been sick for 2 days. And I went back down to the phone and they said, you know, what about your card? I said, it's not here, I must have lost it. And then I remembered that I took it out of my purse and put it in my pocket. And I checked in my coat pocket, it wasn't there. And I said, no, I've lost it. Do you have it? And they said, a lady called Mary Ellen was walking through Pentlegair, found your card on the floor, phoned us up straight away. So the card was cancelled immediately, and we told her to cut it up and we will send you a new one. It's like, who does that? Just before Christmas, somebody could have just been spending on my card. And I was relieved and amazed at how, you know, the kindness of people. Now you imagine there's a whole population of people spurred with the love of God and the kindness of Jesus and generosity and truth and integrity, how our world would change. Can you imagine that world for a moment? Because that is the there that we want to go to. And that is the there that we're seeing God doing something amazing in our land at the moment. Now, of course, in God's kingdom, there is no fear, there's no deceit, there's no pain, there's no fighting, there's no war. And this was God's intention in the beginning when Adam and Eve lived in the garden. And of course, you know, we messed up and went our own way and sin entered the world. And heaven is a perfect place where there is perfection and no crying, no pain, no deceit. And of course, God's kingdom is also here, but only here in part. So if you remember that when Jesus arrived here on earth, he brought the kingdom. And the kingdom is like now and not yet. And so the kingdom arrived with Jesus. He began to talk about the kingdom, his kingdom, a different way of living, and people could begin to see it with changed lives. Think of the change in Zacchaeus, who ripped everybody off, but now he gave back and he was generous. You think of people like Mary Magdalene, who was troubled with demons and anxiety and fears, and Jesus released her and changed her life. So people began to see changed lives and also the kingdom breaking out in healing, and so people were being healed, and you could begin to see. And of course, we're living in the time of the kingdom, but it's now and not yet. It's not in its fulfillment until Jesus comes back and makes a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, the kingdom is near. We live in a different kingdom, and that is about to explode across our nation with the things we've been seeing. So at the moment, it's like a glimpse. This is how Jesus put it. From that time on, this is after Jesus came out of the wilderness, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." It arrived with him. This was the start back on earth. And in verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. And so for you and I, here we are, we're having this life here where we are living in Jesus' kingdom on earth, living that out in our lives. And you and I know that living in the kingdom is a process. Like the day we became a Christian, many things changed straight away. But there are other things that change gradually. And change is a process as we journey with Jesus. And as we journey every day with Jesus, we become more like him. We become changed. Because Jesus is alive in us. So it's not our self-help or a list of rules we have to paste on the fridge and try and do every day. But actually, Jesus is living in us. So his power is in us, changing us. We also have the guide presence of the Holy Spirit. When we go to say something, the Holy Spirit prompts us not to say that. Or if we have an attitude about something, he prompts us to have forgiveness. And so the Holy Spirit is with us. And we also have the complete love of God, which is a healing love. The love of God loves us so much. He loves you so much. It brings healing to our lives that we know that we are loved and secure and safe and totally accepted. And his love is amazing. And we also have the Bible, which is God's word, that gives us guidance every day. So you and I know that we are living in the kingdom of Jesus, walking his way, being changed gradually from one degree of holiness to another, which the Bible calls sanctification. And this is the kingdom coming here on earth. So that's where you and I are up to. Now, when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, Jesus said this: "This then is how you should pray." And this is the beginning of the prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is saying to us to pray for this change, to pray for the kingdom to come. So Jesus brought the kingdom in. The kingdom is near. It is now and not yet. And we are to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is God's kingdom, God's rule in our lives and in others' lives here on earth. So it's like creating and walking in this kingdom with a taste of heaven and a life of love. So you're with me so far, right? So I'm taking on a little bit of a journey, okay? And so in Ephesians 5:2, it says this, live a life filled with love, that as we walk in Jesus' kingdom, our lives are to reflect his, that we walk in love. So you and I are in that process of change, and imagine that you times that by 30, 40, 60% of our world living in that process. Can you imagine that world? Can you imagine it? What that would be like? It would be amazing. How would our world feel? Some years ago, I went to speak in a leaders' conference up in Harrogate. And there was, I can't remember how many, but it's like 2,000 or 3,000 people in this conference. And Harrogate is quite a small town. And this is what I noticed during the 3 or 4 days I was there. When we were there for the conference, I was there by myself, so I didn't know anybody. But there a change happened over the town. In the conference, people were happy and humorous, and they were soaking in worship, and they were coming together around the Bible and discovering new things and talking about church, but also doing normal things as well, queuing up for a coffee or waiting in line for a sandwich. And as I walked into the town one evening, the restaurants and the cafes were filled with Christians, because everyone from the conference just like invaded this small town. And everywhere you went, in the coffee shop, the restaurant, you heard people laughing and talking. They were being generous to the waiting staff, and it was like a different type of world. It was changed. And that little town of Harrogate had gone up to like 80% Christian for that little period of time. And I only really noticed the change when it was all over and I went to the station, and I queued up at the station to get through the barrier and wait on the platform for my train. And immediately there's like aggravation, people arguing, people cross on the phone, people agitated in the queue. And I realized how I'd lived in this world of the kingdom for a few days. And now here I was back in the real one. But of course, you and I know these worlds overlap, that here we are in this reality. And so what would it be like if we could really go there in 2017, that we don't have to stay here, but we can actually move there. And there are signs that this is going to happen. So as you know, in 2016, we started to see hundreds of people turning to Jesus. And as you know, this began in Reading. And to briefly tell you the story of Reading, there's a pastor there called Yinka. And he and some people in his church said, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. Lord, we want more of you and more power. And they started meeting every week to just pray to have more of God in their lives, more of God in their church, more of God, and to know his presence. And as they began to pray over the weeks and just searching after God, it was time for their annual mission in May half term. And a small team went out, and as they went out, on the first day, 60 people became Christians. The next day, 65 people became Christians. And Yinka said, because he'd done evangelism for years, he thought they were counting it wrong or praying the prayer wrong or something was going wrong, because nobody sees 60, 65 people as 125 in 2 days. He was about to close the mission because he thought maybe they'd done the training wrong. And he went out with the team and was amazed as they went out on the street and they spoke to people. Do you know that there is a God who loves you? And people were like, no, I didn't know there is a God. Does God love me? And they started to talk to people about, would you like a relationship with Jesus? Would you like to know your sins are forgiven? Would you like to know if you died today that you would go to heaven? And people said, yes, I would like that. And the people got prayed with on the streets. Now to date, there's thousands of people who have prayed that prayer in Reading. Now, I don't know the percentage of Christians in Reading, but it is going up. Isn't that amazing? And Yinka took his team, and they've been to Liverpool, and they've been to France, and they've been to Southampton and other towns. And the amazing thing is that in 2017, they want to come to Wales. And they want to come to Wales, and they have found everywhere they go as a team, there's like an anointing or a blessing of what it is that God has done, a little bit like what God has done in Cornerstone with healing. That every week people come up at the end and we pray for them and they're healed. In fact, because people are healed every week, we don't even stand up here and say all the healings every week, but maybe we should. But there's an amazing, like, blessing of healing as we train people and travel and see people healed. In the same way, Yinka and his team, where they go, it kind of, deposits something or lights something up. And he wants to come to Wales for 2017. And he's going to work through New Wine Cymru. And this is an amazing thing, really, because with New Wine Cymru, as you know, Julian leads, it's a network of all different denominations, different ages, different denominations. It's a network in seven regions of Wales. So everyone is already connected. So as these teams go out, it will affect all these little towns and villages and cities in every region until it, like, covers Wales. That's incredible. You can really see this happening. And so they're going to prioritize us in 2017. So for you and me, I like to kind of ask the question. It's like, if we imagine or find it hard to imagine a changed world with more people following Jesus, this is actually happening. It is what God is doing in the UK. It's what we've waited for. It's what we've longed for. It is the change. Now, for you and I, this will change everything. It will change the atmosphere in school for your children and your grandchildren. It will change what it's like going into work every day. It will change what it's like in your street and with your housemates. And this will bring change. It is the desired future. Can we stay here? Or are we going to move with God to there, to something that is changing, that will begin to roll out over the years and bring change in our nation? And the amazing thing is we get to be part of it, here and now, in our generation. And so with our part to play, I would say we're going to look at two things, but the immediate thing of our part to play is to pray. Number one is to pray our own personal prayers. I am praying this. I'm saying, Lord, what does this demand of me? What does it mean for me? How can I be part of this? What are you going to do? If you're doing something amazing, let us be part of it, that we don't miss it. So the first thing I would encourage you this year, at the beginning of this year, is to begin to pray every day. Lord, bring this here. Lord, change Swansea. Lord, change Wales. Show me my part in it. And begin to pray and get yourself ready. And students and young people and teenagers in school, begin to pray, because you will see change. And the second thing is to set our heart and mind to be a part of it. So we don't say, well, I'll just wait and see, and maybe I'll join in later if it happens. But actually set our heart and mind right now to say, God is at work in our nation, doing something that we haven't seen for many, many years. And I want to be a part of it, and set our heart and our mind to say, I am going to be part of this thing, whatever it takes and whatever God has for me. Because I think he will have surprises for each of us in our street and our work and where we're at. Okay, so there's two things for us to walk through 2017 with, and here's the two things. So one of them is the value of people, which I'm going to unpack in a moment, and the other is to walk in love. So if we just look at the first one, the value of people. Now, coming up to Christmas, I felt God just impress upon me over and over all the time, just this word, the value of people, the value of people. Actually, no, it was September, because it was before Willow. So in September, I was praying and saying, Lord, what do you have for the church next year? And I just kept sensing God saying, the value of people. It is all about people. Because God loved us so much, he made people. He wants relationships. relationship with us, and he wants us to value one another. And I just kept having this value of people, value of people. And then when I was preparing for the October Willow Conference, one of the talks, John Maxwell, was all about the value of people. And I sat there watching it, and I was like, whoa, this is really God is speaking. We're going to watch that next Sunday night at the worship night, because John Maxwell does it so well, really good. Talks about the value of people. And for you and I, it comes down to this, the value of people. God values people so much, he made them for relationship. He made us to have relationship with him, that his love would come around us and embrace us and walk in his way. And this year, I feel he wants us to walk with that attitude of the value for people. How do I value my friends, my family, my work colleagues, the church? What value am I putting on this person that I could help? And that we walk with this value, because kind of all life comes down to people and how we value them. And God loves the world so much that he made us for relationship. When it all went wrong, he sent Jesus. He loved the world so much that Jesus would die to restore our relationship. So why should you and I value people? Why should we? Because God values people. And if we love God, we will love what he loves. And why should we value ourselves? When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, we have to value ourselves to be able to value others as well. And so we're going to unpack this over the coming weeks. But living in his kingdom every day, let us show value to one another. So this is one of our, this is our first key for 2017, value of people. And I think that would change how we live every single day. If every day we wake up and say, how can I show value to the people around me today? Did that action show value? Did that word show value? Did that email I sent show value? And that we show value to one another. And this is part of changing our world, that we ask this question every day. And the second one is this, to walk in love. That really life is all about love. It is about a loving Father who loves us, embraces us, forgives us, and enables us. And there is that deep need of the human heart to feel loved and to feel safe, and to be loved and to be able to love in return. It is a deep need. And our faith, Christianity, is all about love. A loving Father who loves you beyond description. He loves us just as we are. Now, in 1 John 4, it talks about this. John says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So first of all, this is God's love coming to us. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is God's amazing love to us. And then he says this, so dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So in response to the amazing love of God embracing us, forgiving us, we need in turn to show that love to one another and to live in love. Now, I've been reading recently this book, I know Julian quoted it the other day, Imagine Heaven by John Burke. And John Burke is a friend of ours and came and did some work with us here a while ago. And this book, Imagine Heaven, John became fascinated through something that happened in his family about people who go through near-death experiences or an NDE. And he started to study this and found that there's a whole body of evidence collected by scientists and medical staff and doctors, as well as anecdotal stories of people who have clinically died, had an experience of heaven, and then come back. And it's collected into this book under all different themes. And he runs scripture alongside it of how people describe things and how close it is, or actually the same as what's described in the Bible. It's a fascinating book. And also he has recorded a lot of the stories are from people who have a lot to lose and nothing to gain. So he has people in there who are like brain surgeons and top business people who aren't selling a story for money, but actually have a lot to lose in their reputation. He collects all this evidence together. And there are stories where children have died, gone to heaven and come back that perfectly match the story of adults, that where all this place they've been. And there are some common features. Some of the common features are going through some kind of tunnel or passageway. The grass is amazing. They all talk about the green grass in heaven. It's absolutely amazing. The light, how light shines through everything. But the thing that struck me most so far in reading this book is the love of Jesus is beyond anything anyone can describe. And everyone who's had this experience, so they struggle to find the words to explain the love of Jesus. But one of the common things is this. They meet with Jesus and they see like their whole life flash before them. Everything they've ever done, they see everything. And it's like a moment, but they see it all. And they all say all they sense from Jesus is his overwhelming love over everything that has happened in their life, and a question. And the question he asks is, what have you done with the love I gave you? And many of them have all experienced this. Now, this puts a whole new light on the parable of the talents, where Jesus tells this story, how people were given talents. One talent, was it five, was it ten? And one person buried, one person invested, one person, you know, they grew their talents. Well, this changes the story a little bit, that it's still about our skills and our abilities and how we serve the world and one another. But also, what about the love that we have been given? If we saw that as a talent, are we burying that and no one else benefits from it? Because they were asked, how do you share that love with the people in your vicinity, the people you touch every day, your friends, your family, people who work for you, people you know, in your little orbit? How did you share that love was one of Jesus' questions. That's fascinating. So I think it's a challenge to us to value people. It will change how we speak, what we say, to walk in the kingdom with that value that Jesus had for every person. When the woman in adultery was dragged to his feet, notice the man wasn't there, only the woman. And they were waiting for Jesus to give the word for her to be stoned. And he said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. All the crowd are gone. And Jesus is coming not to condemn us, but to forgive us for our sins, for us to experience his overwhelming love, which is truly amazing, but also to see how we walk in love, that we show that love, we demonstrate that love, we encompass the people around us with that love. Surely this is how they will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. And we have love not just for one another, but for the lost, for those outside of God's love who don't know him yet. And so I would say this is kind of, again, John says this, as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. It is a command from Jesus that we walk in love. So I would say this is quite a deep challenge to us, but also doable. This is a doable challenge that gives us a great focus for 2017 and is in keeping with what God is doing in our nation. That as we show value for one another, that we value people because God values people, and we walk in love because that is what Jesus requires of us. And so I suggest to us that this will help take us there. What is our part to play? That we walk in this kingdom, that we walk in love, that we value one another, and we come on board with what God is doing in our nation at this time, that we will see 2% rise to 10, to 20, to 30, to 40. Who knows where that percentage will go as we walk in love with one another, as we value people, and we see what God is doing. So let us pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're doing something really astonishing and extraordinary in our lifetime, where we're seeing people turn to you in their hundreds and hundreds like never before. Lord, we invite this to Wales. Lord, we invite you to come to Wales by your Spirit. We invite you, Lord, to change our nation. Every one of us, Lord, want to see our street change and our workplace and our schools and our universities. We want to see people find you. Lord, I pray you'll help us this year to do these two things, that we walk with a value for people in everything we say and do, that your love just flows through us, that we will walk in love. And Lord, I thank you for speaking to us as a church. I thank you, Lord, for this focus for this year, that together we will walk in love and value people. And Lord, we embrace what is coming. We say, Lord, we don't know how we go about this, but we know that you will show us. I pray, Lord, I thank you that it's not our burden to make it happen, but you will come by your Spirit. And together we invite you, and we look forward, Lord, to seeing you do amazing things in our day. In Jesus' name, amen.